Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Movie Podders. This is the Movie Podders Bucket List with Amelia and Brian, and that name might change every week, so you're gonna have to be you're gonna have to bear with us. Speaking of it's me, Brian, and with me is Amelia.
Hello.
How you doing? I've not really spoken to you since I've come home from work.
No, you've literally walked in, set everything up, not really debriefed on the day, but hello.
Well, we can debrief now. Anything exciting happened in your day?
I finished early. That was nice. Finished at four o'clock. No, half three.
What did you do with your...
Went into town and bought some chocolate and finished off some Christmas shopping.
Nice.
And then came home and nearly fell asleep at like 5 o'clock. It's quite sad.
That sounds alright. I like sleep.
Yeah, me too.
I discovered a new podcast today.
Oh yeah?
It's called Off Menu.
Off Menu?
Off Menu, yeah. And it's, I think you'd like it.
Food-related.
It's food-related. It's a guy called Ed Gamble. I don't know who he is. And James Acaster, who I find really funny. He's a comedian. And they get guests on. The first guest, the first episode is Scroobius Pip, someone else who I really like. And they ask them what their... Like, if they could have, like, one meal. Like, they have to pick a starter, a main, a side, a dessert, and a drink.
Right.
And then they talk
through... Does that fill a podcast?
Yeah, because they sort of go off tangent and stuff like that.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
Maybe I should.
There's only two episodes so far. But yes, that's probably the highlight of my day.
I've noticed there's been quite a few food-related podcasts, and I do think it's a bit of a weird thing to listen to. Because...
People talk about food all the time, though.
That's true. But then, like, I've not listened to it, but Jamie Oliver's got a podcast out. I just think, what are you going to talk about? Because, like, you can't taste the food.
Yeah, but
you can watch the movie at home, but you can't taste that exact food that they're eating.
We talk about food all the time, though, and we're not tasting it in the moment.
Yeah, but we've probably both had the same thing. Anyway.
Maybe. I have a food-related issue with one of the movies we're going to talk today.
Oh, okay. Shall we wait until we get to it?
I might forget about it, so it might be like...
What film was it?
Seven.
Seven?
Yeah.
All right.
It's just a little grumble.
Okay.
But yeah, so today, guys, off our bucket list, last week we watched... Well, it was probably a couple of weeks ago now, wasn't it? We watched Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah.
And that was our first episode. We did a podcast on that. And in the time being, we've watched Office Space and Seven. Now, normally, the ideal plan is to do is watch the movie and record the podcast either the same night or the next night. Office Space we watched like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. December's busy, people.
And we've kind of... We don't remember it as well as we'd like to. Whereas Seven we watched last night.
That's still fresh in the mind.
So, yeah, still really fresh. So we're going to do Office Space and Seven on the same podcast, starting with Office Space. And then we'll jump. Sorry, you hiding your notes there from me?
Yeah. These are my thoughts. No, are you stealing my thoughts?
And then we'll do Office Space and Seven on the same podcast, and then we'll, at the end of the episode, we'll let you know what we're going to be watching the next week. Now, as I said, this is under the Movie Podders.
Podders?
Oh, my days, man.
Movie Podders.
Podders. banner, I guess. So myself and my friend Ryan, we do Movie Podders.
The corporation, if you will.
We do Movie Podders at the weekend. We can generally... We're starting to just do what we want, but there's generally some movie news in there, some talk about our favourite movies in general. Ryan and Sarah do one called That's Pure Rank. They've got two podcasts out now. First one is Outlaw King, and the second one is Braveheart. I will put a little disclaimer in there and say I was texting Ryan all day and he was just saying how they do bash the English a bit on these two podcasts.
I feel very offended.
But I think it's just because when you watch Braveheart, like, the obviously, and Outlaw King, the villains are English, so...
I'm not a villain.
Well...
I feel like you need to just throw something out there about what Ryan's been tweeting recently. And just clear things up a bit. Because he's been messaging a lot of random people and saying how we're a group of friends and lovers now. I feel like we just need to confirm the situation.
I think that's very accurate, though, because, like, obviously...
You friends. And Ryan are lovers.
Well, we're lovers. Ryan and Sarah are lovers. But yeah, I'd say myself and Ryan, we're lovers as well.
I guess so. But not the four of us. It's not like a weird polyamorous relationship. It's definitely... two sets of couples.
Well, it's polyamorous though, isn't it? Like, cause...
No, stop it. You're making it worse. Right, ignore, pretend I didn't say anything. Just ignore the tweet.
Because you and Sarah allow me and Ryan to be lovers together, which I think is very...
We shouldn't have brought this up now.
Very grown up of you. Anyway, let's talk about Office Space.
Yeah, let's...
should
have brought that up.
Do you have a synopsis? Do you want me to read a synopsis?
You said you would read it back in the
I mean, I'll read it, but... I'm not very good at reading.
Okay. Well, you did say movie pommers, or ponders, or whatever it is. Okay, here we go. So, corporate drone Peter Gibbons hates his soul-killing job at software company Innotech. While undergoing hypnotherapy, Peter is left in a blissful state when his therapist dies in the middle of their session. He refuses to work overtime, plays games at his desk, and unintentionally charms two consultants into putting him on the management fast track. When Peter's friends learn they're about to be downsized, they hatch a revenge plot against the company inspired by Superman 3.
Okay.
What's the Superman 3 reference?
I don't know. I don't remember Superman 3 enough. Okay. The two Superman,
well, I have no
the two
hope.
Superman movies I remember most from the Christopher Reeves era are Superman 2 and Superman 5, I think it is. With Nuclear Man, which is awful.
5?
Oh. Yeah, it's really bad.
I didn't realize it was 5, but...
Yeah. No, I don't remember. I don't remember. But I'm assuming that's to do with the whole plan that they hatch of, like, when the bank's transferring the money, the small decimal they take from it, and then they're meant to get, like, little amounts, but they end up getting loads.
Yeah.
They panic, don't they?
They do.
So you've got some notes. So I feel that you should... I don't have any notes for this movie.
Well, you should take this more seriously, quite frankly. I think, well, I say notes. It's more quotes that I enjoyed in the film.
Okay.
From my understanding, like, well, let's just talk about the film a little bit first in general. I'd never heard of this film before.
Well, see, I had heard of this film.
But from, like, reading about it, it seems to be quite a cult classic.
Yeah.
And it never performed very well when it first came out, but, like, it's got a big following.
Oh, so it was 1999 later. It came out. And it looks like an older film, I think.
Yeah.
I think it feels...
looks like 80s vibes.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't go that far back. But early 90s, I don't feel like this was the cusp of... 2000.
The millennium.
Yeah, I don't feel like... But can I just point out, though, this is like a John C. McGinley double special episode. Because he's in Office Space, and he's in Seven as well.
Oh, the guy with the consultant guy, with the moustache.
Well, yeah, more popularly known as Dr. Cox from Scrubs. Yep. I really like him, so I'm just throwing it out there.
I'm happy for you.
So it should be. Yeah. Well, yeah, so the movie starts, like, and the synopsis, obviously, they got this guy, Peter, who's the main character... who I think most people can sort of relate to that kind of character, depressed at work, don't want to be there, hates his job.
And the guy who was always going, you've got the serious case of the Mondays.
So the woman that says that in it, she's walking about saying that everyone's got the serious case.
No, but then he goes to the restaurant and he goes, looks like someone's got a serious case of the Mondays. And he's
the
like...
The guy called Brian.
Yeah.
He's got loads of flair,
yeah,
as they call it in the film. But yeah, so he hates his job, he gets hypnotised. And then the guy dies as he's hypnotising him. And so he wakes up, like, not caring the world. He's so carefree. He's meant to be going to work on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah. No shit's given.
Yeah, and then that's sort of just the... I mean, it's not a really complicated plot.
Yeah, it's not like there's, like, things that we need to discuss. It's pretty
easy and to understand. And then him and his friends hatch a plan so that they can steal money from the... company without raising suspicious, because his two friends are going to get sacked because they're downsizing at the company, but he's getting a promotion because he's designed for management.
He's really not, though. That's
and what's weird about this film, right? I don't really like, I remember laughing a lot through it, but I don't feel like it's that memorable. Although you've got.
Well, I do have
a couple of funny things.
Okay, I appreciated when the guy, one of his friends, is called Michael Bolton.
Yeah.
And then he starts.
This is the one I like. Yeah.
And he goes, "No talent, ass clown."
No, that's good. I don't remember that one, but that is good.
That was.
But the bit I like when they talk about Michael Bolton, and his friend goes like, "Why don't you just go by Mike?" And he goes, "Why should I change my name? He's the one who sucks."
Yeah.
He's just like, "Oh, that's really good." But he does change his name, though.
No, and then he's really annoyed at himself because he's sold himself out.
Yeah, he's not just annoyed, he's disappointed in himself.
Yeah, when he's in the meeting with the two consultants.
See the guy who plays him, though? Sorry.
No, no, you go.
He's really good. And yeah. I've never seen him in anything else. And I IMDb'd him to see, like, surely he's been in some things, but it's all, like, voice acting and, like, you name it, you've, like, Family Guy, American Dad, like, Bob's Burgers. Like, he's in voice acting and everything. But I've never seen him in anything else again.
I feel like I recognise his face. Oh, Michael.
Michael Bolton, yeah. No, he's good.
No, I enjoyed that.
Sorry, what were you going to say about it?
No, I was just going to say when he sold himself out in the meeting.
I jumped in and
jumped in.
Sorry.
As per.
Yeah, I do that.
But no, I appreciate that. I also appreciated when, after Peter had been, well, hypnotised or had his new lease of life, and he goes to the restaurant and he takes Jennifer Aniston's character. Don't know what she's called. I can't remember her name. But anyway,
I want to say Susie, but I don't think it was.
Well, you have a look and I'll...
Yeah.
Jen, we'll call her for now. He takes her out for lunch. And she, obviously, she's a waitress.
Joanna. Nothing like Susie. I don't know where
it's closer to Jen than it is to Susie.
It is.
Takes Joanna out for lunch, and obviously, she's a waitress in it. He knows what she does. And she says, asks him about his work. And he goes, I don't really like my work. I'm not going to go anymore. And then she's like, she goes, what about paying bills? And he goes, I've never liked paying bills. I'm not going to do that anymore.
Yeah.
I can really relate to the latter. Like, I don't like paying bills.
I don't like going to work either, so...
I wish I could not do that anymore.
Yeah.
That made me chuckle.
But don't you think Jennifer Aniston's character was... And she's not bad in the film, but I just think there was no...
She was unnecessary.
There's no point to her character. The relationship doesn't really go... I think they're together at the end because... Obviously, there's a bit where he thinks that she slept with his boss, and then it turns out it was a different person with the same name.
Mm.
And they get kind of back together, but I just feel like she really wasn't needed. And I think that's one of the issues with the film is, like, this is based on a comic strip in it, Milton, and, like, there really wasn't probably enough there to do a full film.
So they had to
fill it out just a wee bit.
Because he got dumped at the beginning. Oh, no, yeah. Was it after the...
After the hypnosis. But it felt a bit rocky.
Well, she was... having a way with someone else.
So. I like the guy saying, I like the guy that lives next door to him, Lawrence.
Who can hear everything through the paper.
he shouts through to him and he's just like, just come round if you want to hang out. And he's shouting him to let him know that there's boobs on a certain channel. Yeah. and then he does it when she's there, doesn't she? When they bond over Kung Fu. But like, I love the bit where like he's obviously him and his mates and his mates are telling him that he's ruined his life and then they leave and he shouts Lawrence through and he's just like, do you want to come hang out? And he's like, no thanks, I don't want you to ruin my life as well.
Yeah, no, that's funny. That's good.
What else you got on your notes?
Well, one thing that really surprised me was the music.
Oh, yeah.
It was rap heavy. I just didn't, like, if you were going to make a film about IT workers, I would not have...
But like, that's one of the jokes in the film, though, isn't it?
No, I get Because
obviously, like, especially Michael Bolton's character, because the movie opens with them on, like, the freeway... like in a traffic jam to get to work and it starts with Pete and he's kind of like a bit frustrated. I think there's a guy trying to clean his windows or something.
I think so.
And then it cuts to Michael Bolton who's like listening to this like proper heavy gangster rap music and he's sort of like rapping along.
Don't they all sing together as well at one point? Don't they all rap together? Have I made that up?
I don't know.
Maybe I've just dreamt that. maybe.
I don't know. I can't confirm or deny that. But see the bit as well though when... Yeah, the bit is when Michael Bolton's like rapping along to this rap music, but then there's like a black guy walking towards him and he's got his window down and he's like winds his window up so that he can like the guy can hear him and he sort of like starts sinking in his seat.
Yeah.
It's good.
Nice. I can't believe you've not mentioned your favourite bit of the film. Oh well.
Oh yeah. I
mean, the most iconic.
Yeah, part of the film, like it is, there's two things from this film that I had witnessed but didn't know what they were from. There's the meme that I feel like everyone's like, oh yeah, if you could just come in on Saturday, that would be great. And everyone's made that a meme, is like, oh, if you could just have a happy birthday, that would be great. Do you know the boss?
He says it every time. I know what you mean, but I've never seen a meme with his face
really,
on it.
Really, I've seen it like all over the place. And then obviously like the scene where they battle the printer, to its credit, is one of the funniest scenes like I've ever watched. And because I'd seen it in Family Guy, like Stewie and Brian, I think they bought like a CD or a record or something. I think it's the Bird is the World record they bought her. and they do the same thing, and like Brian keeps going and Stewie's like,
oh, like a bit in homage to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I've seen that before, but never known where it was from. And then obviously you see like this. It's just a bit where like, because it's Michael Bolton that's trying to like bar it, and it's like Samir and Peter are just trying to
pull him away.
He's like walks away, and he's got like a cord from it when he's still walking away and stuff as well. Yeah. And yeah, the music when they're beating this thing up is so good.
No, it's great. I think it does a really good job of I don't know what the word is, but kind of like making a caricature of what a mundane office job could be like.
Yeah, and the one, because everyone sort of jokes about like, if you work in I work in a big office, and so like I've worked in several, and so if you made the joke like, who's the guy that's going to burn this place to the ground? Like everyone could name someone, do you know what I mean? If they work in a big office, and obviously you've got Milton, every time like he's like, he could burn this place to the ground. Like he does that wee whisper, like.
Yeah, and afterwards, you made a great point, like, in Pitch Perfect.
Yeah.
I've forgotten what her character is, but she does the whole, I set fires to feel joy.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's very inspired.
I feel like after watching that, I feel like her character is very Milton-inspired, like, whether it was subconsciously or deliberately.
I killed my twin in the morning.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good film. But he's obviously, he's a good character, and he was just like, he's gonna give my paycheck, and then he's like we stapler as well, and he's like, so I love the bit the first time you see him when Peter Childs and he turns his radio down, he's like, he said I could put the radio up to 11 o'clock if it was a reasonable level, so I can play my radio because it's a reasonable level, and it's just like, and then like Pete like leaves him good then, like, and he's still talking, going. He's still getting on.
Oh man, poor guy.
But he wins in the end, though, doesn't
he? Yeah, but yeah, he has a tough time. He works for however many weeks, not getting paid. It's been months. He doesn't know.
It was months, wasn't it? He's just guy. But then instead of
and they keep like moving his desk.
That's what's good about it. Instead of just going, look, mate, you're sacked. Leave. They're like, oh no, move back. And then he ends up in the basement.
Yeah, and like having to kill cockroaches or something. Like, oh, while you're here, is it cockroaches or rodents or something? It's like, oh, we're having a bit of an issue. Do you mind, you know, sorting that?
But then he. Like, so obviously what happens is...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoilers, heavy. Is that they hatch this plan that anytime, like... I don't really know what the company does, it's an IT company. But when they're moving money, it's like the decimal. So they round down or something, and then they keep whatever's left over, don't they? So say, like, they were transferring, I don't know, 1,015.04. They would round down to the 15 pence and they'd keep the 0.04.
0.04 times that many.
However many members. And their plan is that they're going to get loads of cash because of this over a few years.
Mm-hmm.
But the first time they do it, they get like 300k or something like that. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, and so they panic.
He checks his balance and absolutely shites himself.
Yeah, he's got loads of cash. And so they feel like regret and remorse and they sort of want to reconcile. So they have all these like, cash checks or something like that, don't they?
Yeah.
And they're going to hand them back in.
Before my time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember them. Although it's very like, because America, oh, I said that really weird, I don't know.
I didn't like that.
I don't know why I'm there.
America,
they're really weird, like, because I watch, obviously you know I watch a lot of NFL, and I've got this thing called Game Pass, so I got all the American adverts,
mm-hmm.
and they're only now, like, promoting, like, contactless. And they're always behind on like like cash transactions. So I don't know, like, because in America you could like I remember going when I was like 17 and you could still people like you were still using traveler's checks in the States, which I've never seen that happen in the UK. So I don't know, they're always a bit like weird. And I remember when I worked in a bank, like some people wouldn't like even chip and pin wasn't a thing in all the shops. It was like swiping cards
and signing stuff.
Yeah.
That's strange.
So maybe even in 1999 in the UK we were like, no, we don't deal with that crap anymore, mate. Mm. But anyway, yeah. So
talking about the point, the decimal. I think you've lost people now.
Probably. People, I don't know if anyone's listening. And so, yeah. So Milton's gone into. I don't know. Is he gone into set the place on fire? Or is he just?
No, I think he'd gone to find out what was going on with his payslip, and then she said, Oh, is he in his office or something?
Oh no, she sends him away, and then as he goes back, he tries the office.
That's it.
And he goes in and...
it's open.
But he kind of walks over the top of them, so he obviously gets it at some point. And then I guess the kind of next thing you know, the building's on fire.
He's opened the envelope and gone, I don't know what I'm going to do with you.
Set the building on fire.
All these years.
Yeah.
The boss is the worst guy.
He's both fantastic and infuriating at the same time, though.
He makes me so angry. If I had a boss like that, or even worse, imagine if I was a boss like that.
Yeah.
What an arsehole. You don't ask someone Friday at 5 p.m. to stay in the next day. It's just not okay.
It's just the way he goes. He's just like,
that'd be great.
Yeah, if you could just go ahead and that'd be great. Okay.
Does it not say terrific?
It says terrific a lot as well. So
that'd be terrific.
Why are you making eyes like that when you say that? You're cute.
I'm not making eyes.
You were making eyes there.
Right. Well, I'm just gonna quote it to the Christmas tree next time.
That's better. I was just checking something. So I don't know if I've got much more to say. Do you have any? Oh, see the two. Obviously, we've got the two Bobs who do the meetings.
Bob Squared.
Bob, and they have the meeting with Pete, and they just think he's fantastic. But I love the one when they have the meeting with Michael Bolton, and they like love Michael Bolton, so they're like really. That's obviously when he says, "Just call me Mike." But they're just like, what's your favourite Michael Bolton song?
I can't pick all of them.
Yeah,
all of them. Like, right answer.
I
also read an interesting thing talking about the pieces of flair you mentioned earlier on.
Oh, yeah.
Which, if you've not seen the movie, which I'm assuming you will have, but is all the buttons and brooches and crap that
Joanna works in some sort of like...
tacky restaurant.
Fast food, like... I think the only place in the UK that has something similar is the Hard Rock Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've got, I don't know if they call it flair, but they've all got loads of badges and like Frankie and Benny's.
This is what I was going to say. So apparently TGI's used to do it.
Oh, TGI Fridays, okay. Then.
TGI yeah. Fridays, and they were super like big on it, and then they started to scale it back. And an ex-employee apparently came out and said that it was because of the movie, because like people were taking the piss.
Alright, how's your flair? It is ridiculous. I can't believe like that was...
That guy, that boss was annoying as well. He'd do my head.
I did enjoy it. As much as I said that she was a pretty needless character, I did enjoy it when she gave her boss the finger.
And all the customers.
Oh, yeah.
Just everybody in the restaurant.
Then she gets a new job, like, in pretty much the same restaurant, except they don't wear flair.
But it's weird, though, because he's like, I want you to want to do it. He's not telling her to do it. It's just like, you know, it'd be great if you would want to do that. Well, she's wearing the minimum.
Yeah, 15.
Up the minimum if you want her to wear more. Like, she's not just going to go above and beyond with the flair just because you want her to, so...
But she should want to go above and beyond with the flair.
As long as she's doing her job, it doesn't matter what her flair's saying.
Cool, so...
What would you give it out of 5?
3.5.
Okay.
I think... Although, I would like to watch... I think I would like to watch this in a group... with people who enjoyed it, and I think it would be even funnier.
Let's get Jenny around.
She likes it. Why, what would you give it?
I think I'd agree. I think 3.5.
I definitely recommend it. It's, if people haven't seen this film, it's a good time.
And I wonder as well.
It's nice and short as well. An hour and 20 minutes at the most. It's really short, and so you can fit it in at any point.
I wonder as well if, like, the more you watch it, the funnier it is, because you feel like...
Yeah, that's a good shout. I probably want to watch it again just to check it out.
And when you know that something's coming, that often makes you, like, anticipation. Laugh more. Yeah.
No, that's a good shout. Yeah, no, 3.5 out of 5, and yeah, definitely recommend it. We've not watched a bad movie yet on this.
So far, so good,
yeah. Cool. So the next movie...
Oofed.
Is a good one. Is 7, which was directed by David Fincher. That came out in 1995.
Yeah, it was a lot earlier than I thought. In my head, I thought it was like early 2000s.
Yeah.
I didn't realise it was that long ago.
Do you have the synopsis? I've got the synopsis if you don't.
Do you want me to read it?
I'll give you this one a bash. What? I need to work on my reading. surgery.
That's about 3 years,
pal. I know, but we'll give it a bash. So, when retiring police detective William Somerset, played by Morgan Freeman, tackles a final case with the aid of newly transferred David Mills, Brad Pitt, to discover a number of elaborate and grisly murders, they soon realise that they are dealing with a serial killer, Kevin Spacey, who is targeting people he thinks represents one of the seven deadly sins. Somerset also befriends Mills' wife, Tracy, who's played by Gwyneth Paltrow, who is pregnant and afraid to raise her child in the crime-riddled city. I want to get back onto that point about Gwyneth Paltrow at some point.
It's on my notes, don't worry.
But we'll get onto it. So, yeah, so the seven deadly sins are gluttony, greed, sloth, lust, pride, envy, and wrath. And that's the order we get them in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
First thing I noticed about this film, always pissing down. Except on the last day. Every day it's pissing down. And I don't see any floods anywhere. Like, people would be getting evacuated from is it New York they're in? Would be getting evacuated. It's not even just raining a bit. There's one scene as well where Brad Pitt's in a car and you can tell it's a nice day outside, but obviously with the fake rain, it's pissing down. I don't know, and I get what it says. It's meant to feel grim. It's meant to feel like
grungy.
Yeah, dark and like just a horrible. So I understand why it's always raining to try and create that atmosphere, but I don't know. I just feel you can just be overcast sometimes. It doesn't have to only rain. Anyway, so I thought, you got anything you want to say about this?
I don't know, man, I'm all quite specific.
Right. I was thinking we could just go through all the sins, the order they happen.
Okay.
That would kind of take us through the plot of the movie.
Oh, I've got some. Well, to start with, let's just rewind to like 15 minutes before we put the film on. And I was cooking tea. And you said, oh, it's all right if we eat tea. We'll eat tea while we're watching the film. This is not the film to eat your tea watching.
Yeah, I finished before it.
Yeah, well, I'm still like eating halloumi. And there's this gross corpse on the screen.
Yeah, it was pretty grim.
Put me off the rest of my tea. I feel so,
grim's the word I'd use to describe this.
It's just a grim movie.
Whole film. But what was it? Just right to the start of the film, the opening credits are fantastic. You don't get opening credits like that anymore. Like that sort of like...
I'm not convinced you get many opening credits full stop anymore.
Well, you do, but they're sort of just like a scene. And so like it'll be like, I don't know, like a car driving through like for example, The Shining's opening credits is the car driving... Is the car driving up to the hotel in it?
But I don't think you get many films where all the names come up anymore.
No, you do, honestly. You just probably aren't looking.
No, I am.
Right, okay. Next film you watch.
Next film I watch. I will look out for
those. But the opening said it's a sort of like, it's split between like, obviously someone doing like detective work and then like all these like gruesome pictures of these horrific murders and...
It was quite a long opening credit scene
as
well.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it was one of the best ones I can remember at the top of my head.
Was it one of the first? It might not be one of the first, but I feel like it's quite different. The closing credits went upside, not upside down, like from bottom to top. Did you notice that?
What do you mean?
Well, instead of the names coming down from the top to bottom, the names went from the bottom to the top.
That's how they always go.
Hey?
That's how credits always go.
No.
Yeah, they do.
Right. No, what? Sorry, guys, you can't see this, but instead of it going like that, it was going like that. So the words were going...
So that's top to bottom, though? Because they're coming from the top of the screen?
Yeah, normally they come from the top of the screen to the bottom, but they're going from the bottom of the screen to the top.
No, that's what they normally do.
Oh, no, I'm...
Yeah, so I'm right.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, did you hear that, guys? That's going to be like the one time I get this from my wife. I'm right.
I was thinking about what my eyes were doing, not what...
Right. Do you know what the best of this is? Like... Amelia's the clever one out of the two of us, and so I'm going to enjoy this wee moment.
Anyway, my point was, it was interesting that they did it differently to usual, and I wondered if it was the first time that's been done.
Good that you noticed that. I never noticed that, but so I can't comment. I've never seen that before, so maybe it is. Maybe it was just a wee...
That took so long to explain. Sorry, guys, that was quite boring there.
So the first sin that we come across is gluttony,
mm-hmm.
which is a big, massive... That guy who's been made to
force-fed.
I think it's the plastic that kills this. So whatever they find in it, in the food, he just keeps eating and eating.
But does he feed them the plastic to kill him, or do they feed? I wondered if he fed him the plastic so that, knowing that the detectives had found the plastic, and then go to the apartment and then put it on the floor and move the fridge, because the message was hidden behind the fridge.
Yeah, maybe that's probably a better shoot. See, clever.
Clever one. No, I'm really not. No, when it comes to
I mean, it's, and it's such a gross scene, isn't it? Like, just everything about that little house was just, like I said before, really grim. Like, the guy's massive. He's got these, like...
souls and...
Yeah. Like, they put him on a, see, when they put him on... Is it, like, with the morgue thing? Or the guy that... The forensic guy that cuts him open?
Yeah.
Just lying there naked with his big fat balls and all that hanging out. Just...
Oh, no, so his balls. I must have looked away at that point. It's like, no, oh, not for me.
Lovely sight. So
and he gets the belly out and it's like...
Yes,
you monkeys.
That's
what mine'll look like after Christmas.
Yeah, and so that's the first one. But it's what's interesting about the first one is we actually get to Greed quite quickly, like really quickly. And from Greed, when that comes, that's when Morgan Freeman goes back with the plastic.
That's where they find the word. Because he finds the word greed before they find the word gluttony.
Yeah, yeah.
It's only when he goes back and moves the fridge that he finds that and then starts to work out what's going on. But obviously at this point, he's planning... excuse me. He's planning on retiring.
Yeah.
But
he's can't not help really himself, in it. Can he? He's just too much of a detective.
He keeps playing on going, oh no, I'm not getting involved to his boss, but, you know, he's going to the library and looking at all these books and...
Yeah. And he's also never used a typewriter in his life, Morgan Freeman. There's a scene where he goes into
his arms are flailing everywhere.
He's doing that classic, like, one finger, index finger, just punching away at the individual letters.
But then, like, my dad types like that.
That's okay.
Maybe it's like an older person's thing.
Your dad's not quite as old as Morgan Freeman.
No, but he would have. He's probably as old as he was when he was in that film.
Yeah, but he's sure you could have more used to using technology.
That's true.
That's very true. Yeah, so then you get Greed. And then the bit with Greed, right? You get Greed, right? And they go and meet the guy's wife and they ask her to look like at pictures. This is one of the few problems I had with the film because overall, the film, I think it's a great film, actually. I think it's brilliant. Is that they're like, look at these pictures and she's like screaming, like, no, I can't do this right now. And then all of a sudden she goes, that picture's upside down. Like she just her tune changes so quickly, and obviously I know they need her to so that she can move along with the plot. But I just thought that was just a bit like
she could just be like the painting.
She just was like, and like, and even at that point though, like Brad Pitt was just like all right, but then Morgan Freeman comes over and was like we need to know where that is, like she needs to tell us. But they don't even ask her again. She just volunteers it, going,
oh, the painting!
This painting's upside down. I'm like, all right, that's a bit convenient that you've just changed your tune about no one to help and now you can see clearly now.
Maybe this is because I'm quite dim when it comes to picking up on stuff in films, but I didn't really find that you got much background information as to why. I guess you get learn at the end why they picked him, but I wasn't too sure what it was obvious what the greed bit was.
He was a lawyer. That was what you find out at the end, don't you?
Yeah, but when he dies, you don't know. You think, well, what's this guy done?
Yeah, I think they mentioned it was an attorney or something like that, though, didn't they? Like,
I guess you just got to assume that it's because he earns a lot of money kind of thing.
Just to move on a wee bit as well. In between like the gluttony and the greed, I think Gwyneth Paltrow meets Morgan Freeman as well this point and starts there and... friendship, which I'm not sure they really have a friendship.
It's weird.
This is a great bit we both commented on at the same time. Like, Brad Pitt asks Morgan Freeman if he wants a beer, and he's like, "I'll have wine, please." And he makes him wine in like a tumbler, like
filled to the top,
like just a normal glass.
But you know what the weird thing is? Like what I noticed, because before when they had tea, they all had red wine in wine glasses. Why don't you just keep his wine glass?
But then, but also, like, because we also joked about Brad Pitt being, like, his shirt really needed ironed because it was wrinkled. But again, I wonder if, like, all these little things, maybe I'm thinking too much about this, but I think part of that's to, like, describe his character. Because his character's very erratic and very, like, just jumps right into things, doesn't think about things much. So I think the fact that his shirt's not ironed because he doesn't have time to iron his shirt, he's just so, like, I need to go start the day, blah, 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 like, get right fired in, like,
yeah, but if he can find a tumbler, he can find a wine glass.
But that's what I mean, though. Like, he would just pick up whatever was there. I think that's just these little details about his character that get thrown in.
See, I'm not a wet
sorry,
red wine.
Guys, I just hit the microphone, so it might have made a bad noise. Yeah, I don't like red wine.
No, I'm not a red wine drinker, but you don't do that.
Yeah, and so then from there...
But can we just talk about Gwyneth Paltrow a little bit here before things progress into later on in the movie?
All right, okay.
Because I find that situation all really weird.
Her and Morgan Freeman?
Just her. She's really irritating. Like, I mean, I know you thought, maybe I'm being a bit harsh here, but she's not got a job. She just sat around in this... You would be miserable if you're in that apartment with that Subway thing happening all the time.
They do have three big dogs, though, that need looking after.
Well, you know what? You shouldn't get dogs if you can't handle the responsibility.
She doesn't go to work.
She did used to work, so who looked after the dogs at her old place?
I don't know.
When she was his primary school teacher. There's plenty of schools in New York to get a job. She's just lazy and irritating.
I don't have a problem. My only problem with Gwyneth Paltrow, mainly, is I feel that she was... she's just there to move the plot along a little bit and to get to the end, whereas I feel like she's only obviously what happened with Hams at the end, that spoiler, she's
huge
dead.
Spoiler,
she's dead. It's that it times felt a little bit forced bringing her into it, and it didn't feel quite so natural, especially one scene we'll probably talk about with Morgan Freeman later.
Yeah,
but where was I? My notes, Pete. My note thing. I just wanted to point out, like, see the guy who's their chief. I don't know if he's the chief of police or he's just their boss. It's a guy from Full Metal Jacket. What's his name? You won't know it.
There's no point in me looking, so I have no idea what you're about.
He's brilliant. Like, he's really good. He's Arlie Ermey, who is in Full Metal Jacket. He's unbelievable in that film. Such an iconic performance. I really felt every time he was on screen that he was thinking about his lines. Like, you could see, like, his brain working, and he took me out of the movie every time he was on screen. Thankfully, he's not on screen that much, but when I first saw him, like, do you know that way when you see an actor you like, and you kind of get, like, a wee bit excited? He's like, oh, I like them, they're going to be good. But then I don't know, he just felt like he was just thinking about everything.
I never really picked up on that, but that's I think fine. It seemed to upset you a bit.
Yeah.
What's next then? What happens after? Remind
so
me.
So then we...
Is it Sloth?
Yeah, so then the next one is Sloth, right? And then they bust it because they think it's John Doe, don't they? Because they've took the guy's fingerprints from Sloth and they've put Help Me behind the picture.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, we've got him, we've got this guy. So they go where we, like, not a SWAT team, but something to that effect, like a tactical team.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, they're like, we're going to take this guy down. Bust into the room, there's this, what we assume is a corpse.
Well, no, first they go into the room and there's about 100 air fresheners hung in the ceiling.
Oh, yeah, like in the living room.
Like car fresheners.
Yeah, yeah, little Christmas trees.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, there's loads of them, and so like, oh, what's going on here? And then they bust into the bedroom, like, proper, like, yeah, tactical style, like, some of them with their guns, and they're like, get out of the way, oh, the rest of it. Corpse lying in the ground, and then the guy goes, Dr. Cox. I don't just call him Dr. Cox because I don't know what his name is in the film. Goes right up to the guy's face, and I'm just going to come back to a point about the first guy as well. Comes right up to the guy's face, and then the guy just goes, and, like, wakes up. And
but he tells him he's going to burn in hell.
That's that what he says to the corpse?
Mm-hmm.
Or does he still think it's the villain at this time?
No, because he knows I think he must know what the guy's done. Because he's like a drug dealer /
child
molester.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, because he says it at the end. Not drug addict, drug dealer. And he, like, creepy stuff to do with kids.
Oh, he's in.
So I wonder if the guy knows who he is when he sees him.
Maybe.
Well, actually, no, because you couldn't really recognise him, could you?
No, never.
So why would he burn in hell? That's quite harsh. It definitely says that.
I don't know. And there's, like, Sloth and goes, well... But to go back to the first guy with the gluttony guy, right? There's a bit where Brad Pitt goes underneath the table and there's a bucket of sick, right? He must be about half a foot away from this bucket. And then, no reaction, decides to lean in so that his head's right next to it. And then, like, flies back out underneath the table, like, oh, that's disgusting, I'm going to throw up. And it's just like... You would smell that. Surely the house just
the second
smell,
you walk in,
smell
yeah.
like that. I don't know, sorry, I just had to get that off my chest there.
That's quite alright.
Again, this is going to sound like I'm picking on a film, but I have a few problems with the Sloth guy as well. First of all, how's he still alive, right?
Well, maybe he changed him and, like, moved him the bed around and stuff.
But there's, like, no equipment in there.
They might have given him, like...
What?
I don't don't know.
I mean, John Doe seems very clever. John Doe.
Maybe like he's giving him IV drips and stuff to keep him alive.
Yeah, but then he goes to hospital, right? He's still alive at hospital. They take him to hospital, and then Brad Pitt goes to the doctor. Oh, are you sure he won't survive? And the doctor's just like, if you were to shine a flashlight in this guy's eyes, he would die from the shock. And I was thinking, well, that's bollocks, because 6 tactical team members burst into his room, all with flashlights on the end of their guns, like, shouting at him, and he never died. So,
I'm calling bullshit on that.
And this, it sort of picks up here. This is where, after the sloth, the movie kind of picks up a bit in terms of, like, they read a lot of books, don't they, about the 7 deadly sins? Because obviously Morgan Freeman.
This has been happening in the meantime. I think Morgan's been doing it in the meantime.
Yeah, it also looks like Brad Pitt's been sort of reading up. And when they're talking about him, there's a bit between Morgan Freeman and Brad Pitt, and they're talking about him. And Brad Pitt says, well, this is my favourite line in the whole film. When he calls him insane or something like that, Brad Pitt. And he's like, oh, don't call him insane, don't be quick to call him that. And then Brad Pitt's like, he's a nutbag. just because a guy's got a library card doesn't make him Yoda. And it's just, I've never heard the expression nutbag before, and it really tickled me.
No, it really tickled me too. Do you know what? I put Brad Pitt, he's a nutbag, and I was like, why did I say that Brad Pitt's a nutbag? I forgot my had written it down.
Brad Pitt is a bit of a nutbag in this, though, as well. Like, he's not quite John Doe level, but he's a bit of a nutbag.
No, that was a great moment. That really made me laugh.
Yeah.
I think this takes us on to the part where Morgan Freeman and
Gwyneth Paltrow, maybe a bit in the middle, somewhere around about this, but
so she rings Morgan Freeman's character and asks to meet up with him, which is weird. She's met him once and she decides to tell him that she's pregnant, and then Morgan Freeman gives some terrible advice. He's a bad guy.
Yeah, she wants to meet him because she's like, oh, I don't know it. You're the only person I know, and she wants to tell someone. I kind of get that to an extent. It's a bit weird, but I get like she wants to talk about it, and she has no one else to talk about.
Go to the doctor.
So, yeah, but I don't know. Sometimes I'm gonna give that a pass. But you're right. Morgan Freeman's advice is basically like
terrible.
She's pregnant, and she basically says like, if you're gonna keep it, spoil it at every chance you get. Fair enough. That's okay advice.
Yeah,
I get that. You want to spoil your kids. Fair enough. Then the next part of advice, well, I think he says this for, but if you choose to get rid of it, don't tell anybody. Right? So, without getting any like political issues about like pro-life or like freedom of choice for women, like that's, you just can decide that, listeners can decide that for themselves where they stand on that. But, if she was to get an abortion, I'm pretty sure, I'm the man, I can't get pregnant. Unless we have a junior scenario, so I can never get an abortion. But I'm pretty sure it could be quite a traumatic experience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it is, but I'm sure people, like, even having a baby can be traumatic to some women. They go, like, what's it called?
Postnatal depression.
Yeah, people go through that, so I can imagine that some people would have that if they got an abortion. And he's just like, just shut up about it, don't tell anybody. Yeah. Don't maybe go for counselling, don't maybe do this, just keep it stupid.
Yeah, but also, don't tell your husband that you're pregnant, and don't let him have any say on the choice that you decide to make. That's so inappropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was liking him up till that point, and then I just thought...
just weird.
That just, yeah.
Terrible. But again, she's just thrown in there, and the fact that she's pregnant is to make the end even more shocking sort of thing.
I don't know, I feel like...
she doesn't have that many scenes, and that's one of her big scenes, and I just think, like... we'll get to it to the end when we get to the end with the whole reveal. Sorry, jumped ahead of myself.
Getting so excited.
I know, right? And then so from there they go to find John Doe, right?
Because they found him through his library card.
Yeah, who lives in the biggest apartment building? And the corridors in that place were humongous.
The apartment was massive.
Yeah.
There was loads of rooms.
Well, the whole thing was huge. The big red doors. Anyway,
I quite like the way they found him though, because Morgan Freeman's like, he's got his contact.
Oh, yeah, pays the guy. Yeah, yeah.
Pays the guy, Tim.
Pays the guy.
Look at who's checked out the library books.
That reminds me of what I say about Brad Pitt.
Go on.
One of my favourite things about Brad Pitt as an actor... Well, first of all, I need to tell you, one of my pet peeves about movies and TV shows is when people don't eat the food in front of them.
Yeah.
Pisses me off. One of my favourite things about Brad Pitt, There's even a YouTube video that you can watch.
You've shown me that YouTube video many times.
It's just Brad Pitt eating all the time. Like, if you watch the Ocean's films, I think, especially, I'm convinced Ocean's 11, I can't confirm the other two, but Ocean's 11, every scene he is in, he's drinking something, eating something, he's always, and I quite like that. It's quite a quirky thing about his character that I like. But just in general, the films he's in, he munches. This film, it's a slice of pizza right in front of him, and he doesn't eat it. And then this other guy comes and steals his pizza. It really bugged me that Brad Pitt never ate his food, because I rely on him so much to fulfil that happiness in me.
I don't know how relevant it was to David Fincher's film for him to eat the piece of pizza, just to please Brian Robertson out there, who
would
waited.
Would I get an extra star on my rating had he done that? Yeah, so we're outside John Doe's apartment.
Anyway, back to it.
We're outside John Doe's apartment. I quite like this because I never saw it coming, so he freezes. And I thought he was just going to come up and talk to them. And all of a sudden, John Doe pulls out a gun and just shoots at him. And then we proceed to have this quite a long chase.
Yeah.
And quite and a chase that I would say, I think that's the right phrase, isn't akin to the rest of the movie. It has a different feel from it. Like, to the style of it, it feels very much like an action movie chase.
Yeah, because it's not action.
This isn't an action movie, I wouldn't say. It's like a thriller. Almost slight horror elements to it as well. But I really enjoyed that chase, actually. I thought it worked really well. And I think, like, had I watched the first part and you told me this was coming up, I'd be like, oh, that doesn't really fit in with the style. But I actually really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed this chase a lot. It was really good. And sort of, obviously, this ends with Brad Pitt. John Doe not killing Brad Pitt. He sort of catches up with him. John Doe gives him a bit of a beating up.
That's interesting, because he spared his life.
He did.
But we know why. When you get to the end of the film, you realise why.
Do you think at that point he changed? His plan was already in place, and he changed his mind because of them?
He must have changed his mind at some point. Maybe he changed his mind when... Oh, no. It must have been at that moment. Because that's what he said at the end. Because he didn't expect them to find his apartment, so it gave him a shock. So he ended up changing his mind.
Oh, right.
Which makes you wonder, what did he have in store for envy and wrath in the first place? He was never to know that it would have been those two officers when he first killed... Because he would have had that guy in the bed for a year. Yeah, so he wouldn't have known.
Mel's just got transferred, didn't he? So,
he must have changed his mind there, because he thought, oh, actually, I can continue playing games.
Yeah. Then they go to that mad guy who creates stuff, didn't he? Like, he creates... They give him a picture and they go to the brothel sex place. Right.
That's a bit you mean in the... Oh, the leather thing. Oh.
The next one's Lost, right?
Oh, right. I can't talk about this one.
But there's a bit in it that is just so weird. And it's nothing to do... Like, obviously what happens next is weird. But see when they're, like, they're walking down and then the wee guy who's, like, the officer who's outside the room... Just as they turn to go in the room, this guy just comes, like, through the door and goes, homicide! Like, you're dead angry in their face, like, homicide! It's like, right, mate, calm down, man. Like, and then just, like, the guy obviously never acted in his life before, and it's just like, I was like, whoa. And then they go in and there's the guy, obviously, a wreck, who's killed a woman, but kind of John Doe's killed her. So basically, for those who don't know...
He did kill her.
Yeah, he did, but... John Doe certainly played his part.
But his words, John Doe's words were, either you do it or you get a bullet through your mouth. I would have taken the bullet, yeah. I'm sorry.
Like, yeah, of course.
That contraption should never have been made.
So basically it's a strap-on dildo that is a knife instead of a...
Dildo.
Yep.
I don't even know I'm looking away. I can't look at the microphone.
It's because it's the shape of it.
Oh, it's horrendous.
Yeah, it's not. It's not pleasant at all. There was a guy, I don't know who he is, but the guy who owned the, I'm going to call it brothel.
It was definitely a brothel.
I don't know who he is, I recognise him for something, and he's only in the film for, a minute? He's probably got, like, three lines, but he was so good, man. I thought he was a really good actor, and I'm going to find out who he was, because I really enjoyed his little scene. And so then it starts to get sort of, there's a bit in a bar, this must be after it, where they're in a bar and Morgan Freeman's talking about, like, how he wants out and all the rest of it, and he's sort of saying what Brad Pitt thinks, and then Brad Pitt disagrees with him, and he's just like, no, that's rubbish, I don't agree with any of that, and he's, I can't remember what he says, but he sort of questions his whole belief system. It's actually a really good scene. It's probably the best acting in it from certainly Brad Pitt at that moment, and I've quite enjoyed that scene, so much so I forgot what they were talking about, but I just remember thinking, oh, this is good. I never wrote any notes down because I was too into it at the time.
Engaged into the film.
And then your man John Doe shows up at the...
I feel like it's at this moment we need to put out the disclaimer
about
John Doe.
Yeah, disclaimer, like, Kevin Spacey is a bellend, right? Yeah. He's a dick. But we're just going to talk about acting in general, like, and all my days, like, he knocks this one out of the park, like, I think his performance in this is phenomenal, so it is. Even just the...
Creepy.
I think, like, we spoke about it with Heath Ledger last week, like, or the other week, we brought back Mountain, like, acting's as much about, like, body language as it is, like, the words they say, like, the accent they use or whatever, and Kevin Spacey's character has a body language about him that's creepy, that's unsettling.
Do you know what it reminded me a bit of? Anthony Hopkins in Silence of the Lambs, but not as British and without the weird noises.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like a similar like air about him where you just felt uncomfortable
just that pure
and being
arrogance
on the screen
as well though, isn't it? Because like he comes out, he's covered in blood, he's got his fingertips all taped up.
Well, he's hacked him off.
Yeah. Man, we've not even spoken about his apartment really when they had that whole scene.
Oh, that's because you kept jumping ahead.
Sorry, there's so much. Do you want to go back to that?
Oh, go on then.
No, I don't know what to say about
it. No, because you were saying about the big action scene, that's why I'm...
Oh, yeah.
And then you're just commenting on that it was a big apartment. I don't know what you wanted to
say
about
it. But there's obviously a big scene where they find all these like notebooks that he's written and all that, and he's found these...
Thousands and thousands.
Yeah,
and
there's also pictures of them in his wee photo room as well, aren't there? Of David Mills.
And at that point, Brad Pitt realises he was the photographer. When they went to investigate either the first crime... And Morgan Freeman said, oh, they pay the paparazzi to show up. Paparazzi pay police officers to tell them where the case is. But actually, it was him pretending to be paparazzi. So he knew what he was doing. It was like, well, I don't think I can say this, but according to Brad Pitt.
What?
I was like, this guy's fucking with us.
Yeah, he did. yeah. Yeah, it's good. So fast forward to where I was already.
Oh my! If anyone can keep up with this, by the way.
Yeah, sorry, we're getting a bit excited.
Yeah, no, it was a great film.
Yeah, and so he's there. He's this arrogance of just coming into the police station covered in blood, his fingertips taped up, and then he just sort of like detectives. Detective, and he has to scream it, and then they finally get his attention, and Brad Pitt's like straight away, he's the hothead he is, he's got ready to shoot him right there and then. And then he sort of gets questioning, and even like the bit when he's getting questioned, right, he's with his lawyer, I think. He's like, I want to become a lawyer. He's with his lawyer, and they're like looking in through the glass, and he's just staring at the glass.
Yeah.
And I assume that that's like one way. I don't know if it is, but I assume
it'll be like a mirror on the inside.
And he's just... But he looks like he's looking right at them, and you're just like, this guy is creepy, man. There is another sin before that. There's pride, isn't there? But you don't... You just see a woman's dead body. You don't actually really... They don't really go into that one.
She had the choice to either call for help, but then she would have been disfigured.
Or
get killed.
Yeah.
But looks like he just disfigured her anyway.
Yeah, killed her, didn't he? Well,
chopped her nose off.
And then his lawyer comes out I can't remember what the guy's called. Guy from the West Wing plays him. You won't know it because you've not watched the West Wing because you're a horrible human being.
That's a horrible thing to say.
I'm only kidding. You're lovely. But you need to watch the West Wing. What's he called? That really upsets me that I don't have that name at hand. Sorry, guys. This is going to be a bit boring if you're just waiting for me to...
Also, unless someone's watched The West Wing, it's probably not very relevant either.
But the name of the actor... Anyway, I really like him.
Lawyer guy.
Richard Schiff. He's in loads of stuff. In Man of Steel. Great film. Anyway, he's like, he says what the deal is. He says he will, if both Mills and Somerset go with him to a certain location, go to where the other two bodies are, he will give like a full confession of guilty. If they don't, he's going to plead insanity. And they're like, well, you'll get away with this. And then they're like, oh, they basically say, like, well, you're going to do this, blah, 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 because, like, how are you knowing all the rest of it? And it's just like, I'm sure the people would want to know that, I'm sure the public would be interested to know that two officers could find out where the rest of the killers, the bodies were, and did nothing about it. And so the lawyer kind of blackmails them a wee bit.
But it's quite interesting because, what I was thinking, he kills the lawyer for, like, representing people who are murderers.
Yeah, but
he sees himself as a
almost like a prophet in a way. Like he doesn't ever use that language, but kind of like he is
the chosen one.
Yeah, he's doing God's work essentially, isn't he?
Did he talk about religion though?
Well, he says the Lord works in mysterious ways. At one point in the back of the car,
do you not just think that's just a?
He talks about sin. I think he's sees himself as chosen to do it because he said because. We'll just go into this now because basically, like, Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman, Mills and Somerset, they take him in the car, they're going to wherever these bodies are, and they're having conversations with him. And then, because sure, Somerset calls him out and he says, just like this, like, nah, I don't believe that. Because he thinks, so you're saying you're called by like a higher power? And he's just like, I don't buy that. He says, because if you were called by a higher power, why do you get so much enjoyment out of it?
Yeah.
And he sort of says, just like, he goes on something like taking pride in his work or something like that, didn't he? And he's just like, and then I can't remember what Somerset says, but that's when John Doe says, oh, the Lord works in mysterious ways. And this is like, in this scene, obviously Brad Pitt's characters get more and more agitated and annoyed at him. And John Doe is just, he's like, again, Kevin Spacey is unbelievable in this scene. About talking through everything he's done, and it's the bit you were talking about before, the bit where he's just like, when he starts listing what they've all done, I get like, because he says about innocent people, it's just like, how can you call them innocent? Like, you've got this guy who would eats in a fat slob, who is, if he was to walk down the street, people would point him out and laugh at him, he will just eat till he's dead. Then you've got a lawyer who defends murderers and rapists just for money. Then you've got Sloth, what did you say they said about him?
That he was a child molester and a drug dealer.
And then you've got the... And he's just like, don't even get me started on that whore, didn't he? Like, and then you've got the woman who was so ugly on the inside. Like, she would... Didn't him up, like, she would...
Yeah.
And she's like, don't tell me these are innocent people sort of thing.
I feel like he's clutching at straws a bit with the pride one.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure there was more to it than that, but they never really went into it that much.
That wasn't really the important bit.
But that scene was great. And then we get to the climax of the film. A guy shows up with a delivery with a box. Morgan Freeman opens it.
Do you want to tell people what happened 3 days before we watched this film, before you tell them the ending?
Yeah, so I'd... Before going into this movie, I already knew the ending, like literally 3 or 4 days before I watched this film. And a freak incident where I got trapped in a YouTube wormhole, as you do. I don't know, I was watching crap on YouTube and I came across the Russell Howard Hour, is that what it's called? He does a bunch of interviews, and it was a Louis Theroux interview. I was like, I like Louis Theroux, I've watched this. Watched it. Then on, it gives you suggest videos. One of them was John Oliver. I like John Oliver. I watch this. And it turns out John Oliver and Russell Howard are pals, like actual pals, not just like showbiz pals. And he's just like, oh. And Russell Howard says that. He's just like, we're pals. Like he's like, genuinely, we're friends. And he says, I've got a gift for you. John Oliver just had a wee baby. And he hands over this box. And John Oliver's like really reluctant to take it from him. And Russell Howard goes, oh, don't worry, it's not Gwyneth Paltrow's head in a box. And I was like, oh, yeah, bam, I bet you that's knowing that she was in it. Yeah, and that confirmed, like I said to you last night, that confirmed to me that that was the case when she goes to the diner and meet him, because I felt like they're forcing her into this film. That's for a reason. And then in the car, like, in the meeting with the lawyer, when the lawyer's like sort of telling them what John Doe's bargaining tour is. He mentions his wife, like, my wife doesn't even have cable. And he keeps mentioning his wife more and more towards the end of the film, and I'm thinking, ah, she's a goner. Like, what?
She's dead.
And then obviously John Doe flips it, like, when it's going to Paltrow's head in the box, he's just like, he's obviously talking, this is where you really know it is about for his own pleasure, because he's saying, like, I envy your life. I don't think he does envy Brad Pitt's life. I think he just wants to mess with him. And he was saying
and to Brad, take off all the sins.
Yeah, and he was saying to Brad Pitt, like, be vengeance, be wrath. And it turns out, like...
Because it's interesting, because really, like, envy is the only one that doesn't really get fulfilled properly, I think, out of all the sins.
Yeah, unless John Doe really does, but I don't think he did. I think he's just... He's just like, I envy in your life, just to, like, wind Brad Pitt up even more. But I'm not sure. And then, obviously, Brad Pitt does become wrath, and he shoots him.
But you can tell, though, because he's really, like, struggling, because...
He keeps doing that, he's pointing the gun, and then he goes... and he points the gun again, and then he makes a wee cry face again, and he points the gun again. It's just a bit...
Yeah, but you can tell...
I found that a bit weird, that scene, so I did.
No, because it makes sense, because he's torn, because he does want to avenge his dead wife, but then at the same time, if he kills him, he's won. So it's a lose-lose situation for him.
Yeah, and he should really go to prison as well.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's going to prison.
He might be.
Anyway, so he shoots him. Somerset's upset. Somerset does give John Doe a good backhand before he shoots him as well, because he tells him he's sharp, and he gives him a good backhand. Kills him. And then it sort of ends with Somerset going to the chief, or his boss, saying, like, look after him. And I never really got that scene. I don't know, is Brad Pitt arrested? Or is it Morgan Freeman's retiring, and Brad Pitt's still going to be on the force, and so he's telling him to look after him? I couldn't really work out what's happened there.
I think, well, I guess it's open to interpretation.
Yeah, possibly. Because he's sitting in the back of the police car, but that doesn't mean he's arrested. Like,
no, they could just be like, he's had a terrible time.
Yeah.
His wife's head's in a box. Like,
yeah,
he needs to be taken somewhere to be looked after. But obviously Morgan Freeman was... Somerset. I should probably start calling him by the character's name. But Somerset's character was always planning on retiring and moving.
Yeah.
And then obviously at the end of the film you realise that he's not going to move. He's going to stick around to look after him. So I would assume that he's probably not going to prison.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't need to stick around for that. But I guess it's open to interpretation.
Cool.
But I was reading yesterday, because I told you about it, I was reading some of the potential alternate endings.
Yeah.
And how one of them would have been, it just cuts where...
Smashed the microphone there.
I was getting too excited there, so I just hit the microphone. But where it would have cut after Mills had shot John Doe. And you wouldn't have had the rest of the film.
I think that would have just been as effective as what we got.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if it would have been any more or less. What was your overall opinion on the film?
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I thought it was really, really good. I thought very clever how the seven sins were kind of weaved into the story. I must admit, I don't know how far, maybe like... a third to two-thirds of the way in, I was ready for it to quicken up a bit. Like,
it does quicken up, though, I felt
No, like it did, but at the time where I was thinking, oh, come on now, like...
Especially the second half is a lot faster paced, I think, than the... And I don't know if the chase scene's got a lot to do with that, because that's when it really picks up, and...
I feel like the distance between the crimes as well, like, I feel in the first half, there's a lot of space between each one happening, and then not loads... Obviously, you see Somerset going to the library, and you see there, like, the working relationship between Mills and Somerset, like, brewing, them getting to know each other more. I guess they've got to do that to set the scene, but I was ready for the pace to pick up a bit. But the second half, I thought, was great.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's all great. I think it's paced
really... Oh, no, I did enjoy it.
I think it's all paced really well. I think the plot's excellent. The storytelling's really good. I think the acting in it is really good as well.
Gwyneth ruined it a bit for me.
Ah, she didn't bother me. I wasn't overly impressed with her, but she didn't bug me at all. And yeah, I thought it was excellent. How many stars out of five have you given it?
What's the rating again?
What's the recommendation?
What would What would 3, 4, 5 be?
Well, I don't know. That's up to you. Mm. I would think 3 is a recommendation. If someone's a 3 stars, you would recommend it to someone.
I think I'd give it a 4, maybe 4.5.
I gave it 4, right, which I feel is low, but I feel like my viewing was a little bit tainted because what I found out.
Right.
And so I was trying to watch it in a sense like, am I right about Gwyneth Paltrow's head, or did I just jump to conclusions? So I think maybe if I watched that again, I'd give it a slightly higher rating, because it's really good. But I'm sitting at 4 just now. Great film. Everyone should. I think this is like one, I understand why this is on the bucket list.
Yeah, definitely. It's like, definitely a film you should watch.
Even the first one we spoke about, Office Space, I get why that's on there as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very quirky comedy. But this one, I get why people would have this on 100 movies you need to watch. I think it's really good. And it's set in... This film felt newer than Office Space as well, and it was set 4 years before it. It was filmed 4 years before it.
Yeah, that's mad, that.
Even just the camera work, quality of it all felt...
It's probably a much bigger budget.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously you've got Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman, Kevin Spacey. People who were in, like, still in... I don't know if peak's the right word, but they were certainly, like, in... Like, very famous people at the time.
The prime.
Yeah.
It was quite... it was really interesting, because after we'd watched it, you did a little bit of Googling of David Fincher.
And it was only his second film. Yeah.
Which is mad. And like, before his first film, music videos.
Alien 3, and then they came out with this as his second film, and just
what a great second film to
excellent movie. So, yeah. Cool. Yeah, we'd recommend both. We'd recommend Office Space and 7.
Just don't watch 7 when you're eating, and you need to be able to concentrate.
Yeah. Phones at the other side of the room.
Yeah, unless as always.
Unless you're taking notes for a podcast.
But then you've got to put it back down straight away when you make a comment.
Yeah. Remember, guys, follow us on Twitter, both our accounts. So we've got what's our account?
@AmeliaandBrian_
@AmeliaandBrian. @AmeliaandBrian.
Yeah.
_.
Yeah.
Follow us there.
Yeah, some American couple have taken Amelia and Brian.
Dear they.
Rude.
Also follow @MoviePodders and @That'sPureRank. All our podcasts will be uploaded onto the one banner under Movie Podders, just with slightly different names. Myself and Ryan have already got part 2 of our favourite movies for every year we've been alive podcast out, and Ryan and Sarah just released the Braveheart review, so check them out.
What's in store for next week then?
Next week we're going to be watching Gangs of New York. Looking forward to this. Bit of Daniel Day-Lewis, bit of Leonardo DiCaprio.
Anyone who knows me, I think, would be quite surprised that I chose this one.
Yeah, I gave Amelia 3 options. I gave you Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
Gangs of New York. And The Dark Knight, I think I gave you.
Yeah, putting that one off a bit.
One week I'm just going to go The Dark Knight, Jurassic Park, or Back to the Future.
And one night I'm going to go Dirty Dancing, Mean Girls, or The Lion King.
Mean Girls. I like Mean Girls and The Lion King. That wouldn't be that bad a week for me.
I can't think of any of the others.
I don't dislike Dirty Dancing either. Anyway, guys, we hope you listened. We hope you enjoyed that. If you've listened and you've seen Gangs in New York, please send us in any questions, or even if you've got any questions on the previous movie, we will go back and answer them.
Or any comments.
Any comments.
Any feedback.
We'd appreciate it. Have a nice evening.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.